gracious Lord, we bow down before your throne of grace and mercy this morning. We acknowledge that without you we are nothing, and we extol your name on high. We ask God of heaven that in your mercy you will tabernacle over this meeting in the name of Jesus. Let the word of life come forth. Let there be transformation. Let there be healings. Let there be deliverance. Let there be direction. Let there be instruction. Let there be reproof. Let there be correction. In the name of Jesus. You have a purpose for gathering us together. We ask, oh God, that your expectation over each of our lives for organizing this meeting will not be cut short in the name of Jesus. Cause our lives, Lord, to respond to your word in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. We worship and extol your holy name. In Jesus' name we have worshipped. In Jesus' name we have worshipped. Praise the Lord. If you are living, so praise the Lord. I want to say good morning, church. And in particular, I want to appreciate the pastorate for this honor of standing on this exalted altar. I want to say thank you for inviting me to share in your joy at this season. I also bring greetings from my pastor at Adoekiti and my husband. Praise the Lord. I want us to open our hearts to the Lord as he speaks to us this morning. Yesterday, the Lord helped us as we began to look at the theme of this conference, the winning woman. And when I was told that I will continue in that same spirit to minister to the old church this morning, I was wondering how I'll be able to help all of us to flow together. But the Holy Spirit assisted me, and that's why we are going to be looking at a topic that one of the things that we mentioned yesterday about the winning woman. We'll expatiate a little bit about it to make us realize that all of us together, we are supposed to be a winning generation. And I pray that the Lord will take us there in Jesus' name. The winning woman cannot stand alone. She cannot be a winning woman when other things around her are failing. She will not be considered a winning woman. So that's why all of us together in the home, we have our own roles and to play to ensure that that woman continues to win, and that as we cooperate with her, she also is able to raise a winning generation. The Lord will grant us help as we move along this morning in the name of Jesus. Our theme, as I said, is the winning woman. And Proverbs 31 verse 25 says, strength and dignity. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. What is it that gives her the boldness to be able to laugh concerning the future? What is the source of her strength that enables her to be able to laugh and to stand tall in the face of challenges? We mentioned a lot of attributes of the winning woman yesterday. The Lord granted us help. And this morning, we'll just pick on one of those and we'll talk a little bit about it within the space of the time that we have. And I believe the Lord will grant each and every one of us understanding, so that we'll be able to key in into the purpose of God for to make our women winning women, and to also be able to be winning children, or winning daddies, winning children, and a winning generation in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday we said that she's a woman of unyielding faith. This woman is a woman of unyielding faith. And so for this woman to keep on winning, and to be able to raise a winning people, we together must earnestly contend for the faith. There is we are talking about, we all know what faith is. And when it comes to winning battles, you know you have to contend. To be able to win over or scale over hurdles, you must contend. And you cannot contend with your might. You cannot contend with your ability. You need the strength of the Lord. And somebody who is not guarded with strength cannot help others. I hope we are following. So, topic as is going to be coined this morning, bearing in mind that it's the winning woman that is our theme, is that this winning woman needs to do what? In togetherness with all of us, we must earnestly contend for the faith. And this scripture is found in Jude chapter 1, or the only chapter of Jude, from verse 3. I will read from here. It says, "Beloved, although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I find it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." And then he began to advance reasons, the need for them to contend. And then to verse 20, because of time, I will not be able to read the whole chapter. He said, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen." Praise the Lord. Please follow us as we go along. The Lord will grant you help to be able to understand. The dictionary meaning of earnestly means that you must, with sincere and intense conviction, do something. That is, in a serious and determined way, you must pursue after something, earnestly. And contend means to deal with something that is difficult and is unpleasant. That is to contend. I'm just trying to define the terms. Earnestly contend for the faith. And for the meaning of faith, we all know what faith is. Faith is having confidence, absolute trust in God. And even though you may not have received the physical evidence, you are assured in your spirit, you are fully persuaded that God, that case is a settled matter. Hebrews 11 chapter verse 1 speaks a lot about what faith is. Therefore, to keep on winning in our homes, as daddies, as mommies, and as children, and we must keep on trusting the Lord, holding on to his word in all situations and circumstances, knowing that God is too faithful to fail. So for us to keep on winning, we must keep trusting the Lord in the face and the midst of all challenges. You must hold on to his word. You must believe that God is too faithful to fail. The Lord will grant us such in the name of Jesus. And also, I want us to also realize that as believers, that the only kind of life we are actually permitted to live is a life of faith. If you take fish out of water, how long will it be able to survive? Are we together? So faith is our natural habitat. So we must hold on tenaciously to it and ensure that we do not allow any circumstance to cause this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to slip from our hand. It is only then we will continually, you know, we say the word winning means is a continuous one. It's not as if you are won once, then you can go to sleep. No. Once Yoruba hymn says, "Christian, mighty wasimi, ni arin otaloa." In other words, don't seek refuge yet. Don't go to sleep. Don't go and rest. Don't think there is no more battle for you to fight. We must keep on fighting. and we will continually be victorious because our victory has been affirmed and assured in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And another thing for us to note is that without faith, we cannot please God. So I want to challenge our parents, our daddies and mommies, that we have a responsibility to reproduce winning children in this generation. And what do I mean by that? I mean that children who will be able to stand tall regardless of the circumstance ongoing in the nation, regardless of what they face in the academics, they will be able to stand for the Lord without wavering. They will not doubt the integrity of God's words. And this one does not happen just like that. We have responsibilities as parents to make sure we nurture our children, to invest in them spiritually. Let's create time. Let's take interest in their spiritual status. Don't just assume because they follow us to church, they are okay. Please, I want to plead with us. Parents, we have this responsibility to this generation. And I pray our generation will not fail God in Jesus' name. We must create time for them. Share the scriptures with them. Draw them out. So that faith can be birthed in them. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I don't let it be that because of the technological age that we are in, that we are so engrossed that we don't have time to be with our children. There is a busyness around our lives that has deprived us of a lot of family life virtues. And the challenge before us, for us to be able to stand as winning women, winning homes, to raise a winning generation, we must go back to the basics. And I pray the Lord would grant us wisdom to do so in the name of Jesus. As I looked at this aspect of the involvement of the parents, I just had a glimpse of the life of Isaac and Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 22. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22, 7 to 8, and then we'll look at 9 to 10. We may not really read it, but I'll just draw it out. What was it that Abraham did to Isaac? How much of the life of God did he impact? So much that when the child said, "Father, here is my father," he said, "Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Remember that at a point, Abraham had to tell the servant, "You stay here, we are still going forward." Praise the Lord. What was it that gave the boy so much confidence to know, to believe what the father told him? Can we pause and think about it? That's one aspect of it. If you go to verses 9 and 10, by the time Abraham tied up Isaac and was about to lay him on to offer him as a sacrifice, why is it that Isaac did not bolt away? Can you think about it? For a child of nowadays, will they stay for that length of time? Do you think Isaac was a baby? Praise the Lord. Do you think Isaac was a baby? Even in the process of tying the hand, Otisalo. But what do you think gave that boy such a confidence to know what his father said, that the Lord will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice that you come through? What do you think made that child to believe his father? There must have been a lot of investment in the place of prayer, in the study of the word of God, in the ability of God to meet a request in the place of prayer. This child was so confident that even when the father had tied him up to put a knife on his neck, before he heard the voice, the boy did not revolt. That's a challenge to us. May the Lord grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yesterday that's just on one part for us parents. And you discover that Isaac, as he was growing up, he did not struggle much because his life was soaked with prayer. His life was soaked with the word of God. He was, even many times he would go to the field to go and pray to the Lord, and he is consistent. Even when people were striving with him, When it grew up and it would dig a well and people would strive with it, it would not struggle with that, it would go to another, until there was no, it got to a place where there was nobody striving with the digging of the well. The life of God was so entrenched, so poured forth into him, that when he grew up, he did not depart from that path. May the Lord grant us such labors in the lives of our parents, so that they will invest so much in us to make us to become. And may the Lord also grant unto us children the grace to be obedient to instructions in the name of Jesus. Amen. If Isaac was not obedient to instructions, his life wouldn't have become what it became. And when he saw a raw miracle like that, do you think he would depart from that life? May the Lord grant us help to grow in this understanding in the name of Jesus. Another one we looked at yesterday was the life of Jochebed. And I looked at it again and Moses. I looked at it again. Yesterday we were looking at what was it, you know, all the stories around the king killing boys. But this woman, we said yesterday, saw something in the about Moses. She saw with the eye of faith. And when she had the opportunity to hold Moses back, to be taken care of by her, you know what she did? She made the most of that opportunity. She poured forth, we talked at length about that yesterday. But you know what I want to draw attention to today? It wasn't only Jochebed that labored on Moses. Moses also believed what he was taught, held on to it, acted on it, lived by it, and so he was able to enter the promise of God for his life. He cooperated with the dealings of God upon his life, so much that he was able to enter into God's purpose in later life. He did, maybe at most he stayed with the mother for about 5 or 6 years, and then Pharaoh's daughter took him as her own. But in that space of time, the much that Jochebed did in the life of Moses was enough, one, for him to be able to forsake the pleasures of Egypt in Hebrews chapter 11, 23 to 24 that we saw yesterday. And also, by the time he left Egypt, he was heading nowhere. He was just going until he got to that point where he helped the daughters of Jethro. But the work of the mother labored on him as a youth was enough to also make him to be a man who was disciplined, because he had been open to instructions. We have a responsibility to bring to bear all the things that we are hearing, to make sure that we do not depart. God tested him whether he will fall prey to the lost all around him. This man that he had to stay with had seven daughters. But he was a disciplined man under God, based on his upbringing and God's dealings in his own life, so much that he did not open any of their nakedness. He was a disciplined man. So, apart from the labors of our parents on us, for us to be able to enter into God's own inheritance, God's own promises for our own lives, we have a responsibility. We must take our lives, our walk with God, very seriously. We must, just as we said yesterday, the fear of the Lord must be paramount. It shouldn't be that because nobody is around, you can afford to do anything. No! If you must be a winning generation, if you must be a winning person, a woman, if you must be a child who will enter into the fulfillment of God's counsel for your life, you have a responsibility to do what? To live right. May the Lord grant us help in Jesus' name. Amen. The same thing we have with Joseph. Joseph also, his motive, even though he was launched at a very tender age, a lot of us find ourselves in the university at tender age, and we use that as a liberality to do whatever we like. No! Please, a man's mistake at the early years can ruin the future. You know the case of this lady, the only daughter of Jacob, her unfortunate disobedience led to her total destruction. After that incident, when she was defiled, we never heard of her again. So, a little mistake could be costly for the future. So for you to be a winning generation, somebody that could amount to anything in God's hands, fulfilling God's purpose, shining forth as light in the midst of this dark world, the fear of the Lord must be paramount in your heart. You must seek to honor the Lord in all you do. You must seek to please the Lord. Let your pursuit be, Lord, only you, because of your love for God. You alone matters. People may say all kinds. Don't succumb to peer pressure. Don't succumb to everyone is doing it syndrome. If you succumb to that, your life is being ruled by the crowd. May the Lord grant us help not to be a puppet in the hands of the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph himself purposed not to, even though he had challenges, he contended with this by walking uprightly. The first challenge was that somebody who had never known poverty all his life suddenly was thrown into a place to be a slave. But despite that, he was upright. He was serving the Lord. He was doing what was right. He was being an ambassador for the Lord. So much that the master noticed it and made him the chief of all servants. By the time they lied against him again and was thrown into the prison, he didn't say because of the challenge of being in the prison and being lied against, for him to now begin to say, I was working uprightly before. Now I will just do what I like. Because even when I was doing what was right, they decided to do this to me. No, the Bible says even the prisoner's leader, the warder of the prisons, took notes that the Lord was with him. If God is with you, it's not only you that we know that God is with you. It will be evident to everyone around you by virtue of the life of Christ that you portray. The life, the things that you say, your actions and reactions to situation will portray the life of God, of Christ that is inside of you. It will be evident, just as we saw in the life of Joseph. May the Lord help us to always realize that we have been bought with a price. Somebody paid the price for the life we are living, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us with his blood. He redeemed us from our sins with his blood. And because so that he doesn't want us to also go and get doomed. He doesn't want us to die, a wretched death. That's why we have this opportunity. Thank God for the atmosphere of grace we have here. Thank you, God, for his dealings with us, for how he's been coming forth to us. But we have responsibility to respond accordingly. To whom much is given, much is expected. May the Lord not have cause to regret over any of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. The investment of God over our life is not supposed to be in vain. It is for a purpose. It is for a purpose. Supposing all that, you remember Joseph had 11 other brothers? Supposing all of them, maybe one of them behaved well. But they were all doing what was wrong. And he kept standing out. When they do bad things in the field, they come and report to their father. And eventually, because of that, they hated him. But his consistency in everything, made him to become what God had ordained in his original plan. Even though God showed him a vision of his life much earlier, if he had defiled himself by sleeping with the wife of Potiphar, that would have been the end of that dream. But it's too true to God. I want to challenge us this morning. For us to be, and you see, sorry, before the challenge, you also discover that because of that consistency, he became the prime minister. He kept on winning. He was winning. He won for Pharaoh. He won for his household, his brothers. He kept on winning. He became a fulfilled man. So much that when he was even about to die, the Lord showed him a revelation of what was to be in latter years. May the Lord grant us help. Amen. May the Lord grant us understanding. Amen. May the Lord grant us insight into his purpose and counsel for each of our lives, so that we will respond accordingly, so that we'll become what he wants us to become in his hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord! We need resolute determination. We need resolute determination. You can go on and on and on. Samuel also was a baby when the mother brought him back to the temple. Maybe about 3 or 4 years. But the investment of Hannah over his life during that short period when he was still with the mother was enough for Samuel to refuse to be like Ophni and Phineas. You know, at times we feel that those children, they are small. Mama, come. Mama, mewa. Don't take any child being too small to know the Lord. I don't know for how long, maybe 3 or 4 years before he came to Eli's house. But when Ophni and Phineas would go and when they would be doing what was wrong, he just carried his eyes. And when God saw the sincerity in his heart, even at such a tender age, God began to speak to him. God began to speak to him. So much that the point, the Bible says, God did not allow any of Samuel's word to fall to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. But it started from where? From the investment made by his mother at the home front before he was thrown out into the world. May the Lord grant us help. As children, we also have responsibility to do, to respond to the Lord because we love him. Not because mommy will talk or daddy will talk if I don't do it. But because you love the Lord, you want to please him in whatever you are doing. Whether anybody is watching or nobody nobody is watching you, you must make up your mind because of your love for God. Because if you love somebody, you want to do anything for that person. Because of your love for God, you can make up your mind to live your life correctly. So, and you can be a positive influence on the people around you. You are supposed to be a shining light to this generation. This generation is a wonderful generation. Don't let me say bad things with my mouth. It's a wonderful generation. And there's a role for you to play, to make impact in your world. The Bible says the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Will they wait in vain? Hello? Will they wait in vain? We have a responsibility to manifest as children of God. But you cannot manifest if your life is not made, if your life is not tamed, if you are not obedient to instructions, if you cannot be corrected, if you are not open to rebuke. May the Lord grant us help. That will be our life will be yielded in the Master's hands in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are some things that must be done, as we read in that chapter, in that verse, for one to have inner strength to be able to contend for the for faith, to be able to withstand all the arrows from the wicked, of to be able to resist all the temptations that comes our way. You cannot, if you are not well armed, there is no way you can fight this battle of faith. If you are not well clothed, that verse in 31:25 says, strength and dignity, she's clothed with strength and dignity. When you put on something, people will see it. And all those things cannot happen until you labor on your own life. That passage in verse 20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. How do you do that? How do you do that? You must be a person, just as we said yesterday, you must love the word of God. You must meditate upon the word of God. You must live out the word. You must be ready to spend time with the word. Go off the social media for a while. Maybe if you spend 3 hours on the social media, just take 1 hour of it. Every day, spend it in the study of the word, in meditating, in prayer. You see that there will be a transformation within a short while in your life. Praise the Lord. Not only that, you must keep desiring. And you can never say that you have reached the climax, that you have had enough of God, and so you don't need any other thing, any other additions. You remember the topic is the winning. So it's a continuous thing. For you to continue to win, for you to be able to be of substance, of somebody of a vessel of honor in God's hands, you must continue to be teachable. You must continue to be humble at heart. You must receive the word of God with meekness and with awe. Praise the Lord. What do I mean by that? When the word of God comes to you and addresses a situation in your life, you must own up to it and say, Lord, I am sorry. I never saw myself in this perspective before. Lord, please help my life. I am helpless. But when the word comes and you are just, what's your man's son here? Ah, you are far from it. May the Lord grant us help in Jesus' name. It takes a heart that desires and thirsts after God to be able to stand in awe of God's words. You must be able to see yourself, locate yourself in the mirror of the word, and see your nakedness before the Lord and own up to it. And as you do that, you'll be growing daily. As you are growing daily in all these things, your life, you can't remain on one spot. And God will begin to pour forth more and more unto you. Praise the Lord. Another thing that will help us is to pray in the Holy Spirit. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are able, it helps our infirmities. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, it helps us to pray better, you know, in a language that God understands. And we are able to express, find expression before the Lord. And the Bible says that by this, praying in the Holy Spirit, we become strengthened with might in the inner man. There is a strength of the Lord that gets poured forth into our lives when we pray in the Holy Spirit. When we have communion with the Holy Spirit, when we have sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one that represents God the Father and God the Son even now. And the Bible says that it will take of the Father and we will reveal unto us. So if you don't have communion with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you don't have relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will be missing out a lot. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. One other thing that will help us in this ability to contend for the faith is keeping ourselves in God's love. Love God with your heart. Love the people of God. Don't sow seed of discord among the brethren. Let the love of God override. Of course, we could step on each other's toes, but in the midst of it, the love of God in your heart should override. And the book of John 15, verse 10. John 15:10. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That was Jesus speaking there. We have a responsibility to also abide in God's love. Let's keep loving the brethren. The Bible says, owe no man anything, but what? But love. Let the love of God be birthed in your hearts, and then it will be easy for you. Well, but when you owe a grudge against somebody, the enemy can use that. She wants to pray. She wants, no, this one has this against this person. When there's unforgiveness there, it will not flow through. You remember how the enemy came to accuse that priest before the Lord? Praise the Lord. So we must keep ourselves in the love of God. 1 John 3:11 to 24 talks about that, and 1 Peter 1:22. Another thing is that you must wait on God, hoping for his return. Live every day as if it is the last. Each day, as if, supposing the trumpet sounds now. Supposing it sounds now. I'm sorry, some of us in our house say, come out, it sound. But it will sound one day. And for those, it's only those who are prepared who will go. I pray all of none of us will be found wanting at that day, on that day, in Jesus' name. So we must make sure that as we are trusting the Lord, you know, to help us with this issue of battle for of life, we must also do what? Keep, don't allow the challenge to make you to lose your expectancy of the Lord's return. That challenge that you are, that looks so big, is a passing phase in your life. But when you hold on to the Lord, you are expectant of his return, you discover that the Lord will guard you with strength in the inner man, and will not be subsumed, will not be kept under as a result of that challenge, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of the things that will also help us in the course of contending for the faith is that we must not contend in a rude or proud manner. Let's look at Ephesians chapter. We must always speak the truth in love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. In the process of contending for the faith, we must always speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So we must speak the truth in love. If somebody is doing something that will not bring, that is not right, and you want to correct that fellow, don't correct in a way that that person will not want to follow you to Jesus. The way we handle correct such a person should be such that that person will be able to palpate the love of God in our hearts that is making us to correct him along that line. Praise the Lord. Not only that, we must treat people with gentleness and respect. Everybody has what is called self-respect. So when you demean that self-respect, that person may not want to hear what you have to say. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Treat people with respect. In the course of trying to correct something in a person's life, don't just treat them as nobody. That's the word. Don't treat them as nobody. For you to be able to communicate effectively the love of God to that person, don't treat anybody as if he's a nobody. As if he's not, it doesn't really matter. You know why I'm saying so? That lady, that slave that was in Naaman's house, you know, remember that slave that was in Naaman's house? She was the one that told the mistress, if my master could just go and see the prophet, and I know this leprosy, he will be cleaned of it. Do you know, if they have treated that slave in a shabby way in their house, will she offer that solution? So treat everybody with respect and with gentleness. The Lord will grant us understanding in Jesus' name. But in the midst of it, we must be firm, we must be uncompromising. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. We must be firm, we must be uncompromising. 1 Peter 3, 5 said, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who are trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Praise the Lord. You must also be discerning. You must be discerning to know the error and to be able to resist and refute it. And you must be confident to share the truth. You know? You must be confident to share the truth. And you must have compassion on the people you want to share the truth with. Of course, they may be living a life of sin, but you must be firm and uncompromising such that you don't share in what they are doing, but you have compassion towards them. You tarry in God's presence, asking the Lord for the Lord to touch them, for the Lord to turn their hearts unto him, and then you go forth to minister to them. May the Lord grant us help in Jesus' name. Now, I just have an example for us again from scriptures of somebody who was nurtured, who obeyed instructions, and at the end of the day, the person did not only win, she won, and she raised by our actions, a winning generation. And I just try to summarize this life. And I want us to just look at ourselves. And it's the life of Esther. Esther was an orphan. And by that alone, it is enough to get her devastated and say, there is no hope for me in life. But the Lord helped Mordecai, the uncle, to raise her. And what the life of Esther was, well, in the course of that, we may not know the early lives of Esther, but we know one thing, that Esther was an obedient child. She was well nurtured in the things of the Lord. She was well groomed. When Mordecai asked her to go for that contest, she did not think that it wasn't because he was the one that gave birth to me. That's why he's pushing me to this thing and things like that. Mordecai saw with the eye of faith there was hope in her future. He was able to identify and align with the purpose of God for the glorious destiny he has prepared for Esther. I mean that God has prepared for Esther. Just as Jochebed saw that the child that was born is a beautiful and goodly child. And because of that, she was ready to take the risk. Mordecai also was ready to take the risk to allow Esther to go. Supposing they discovered there that she was a slave or a Jew, what do you think would have happened? They would have boxed her out of the place. But every instruction Mordecai gave to Esther, she held on to it. She said, don't reveal your identity. She held on to it. Praise the Lord. And I want to say that Esther took her life in her own hands. She did not bastardize her youthful years. If she wasn't a virgin, there is no way she would have been qualified. And that shows that we must take responsibility over our lives. The moment when the Lord has enabled our parents to nurture us to a point, we must take responsibility for our lives before the Lord. Even though Mordecai would have instructed, don't do this, but she too, she was a self-disciplined person. She disciplined herself that she would not mingle with the people who would defile or destroy her future. If she wasn't a virgin, she wouldn't have been chosen among those people. May the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. One day, one be Esther, or two right be. Because she loves the Lord, because she fears the Lord. And the training that Mordecai gave Esther was enough for her to live a life of contentment. Go and look at that story very well in chapter 4. Because of time, I won't ask us to go and to read it from here. She was, when she got to the place, the Bible says anything they give her to wear, that is what she was ready to wear. When others will say, I want that golden earring. I want that yellow whatever. The others were doing it. She was not influenced by what others who were her peers were doing. She was just contented. The Bible says when it was her time to go into the king, and the eunuch was saying, pick anything. You have so many, anything. The Bible says, she said, anything you give me. She lived a life of contentment. She learned contentment while she was nurtured. She had learned to be contented as she was growing up. She took her life in her hands. Praise the Lord. And not only that, the Lord, because of her own self-preparation and her yieldedness in the hands of the Lord, her yieldedness to instructions, the Lord launched her out into his purpose. The Lord launched her out by granting her favor. Praise the Lord. So when you take responsibility for your life and you decide that you want to honor the Lord, you want to please the Lord in all things, it's like a fertile ground for the Lord to begin to do, to begin to fulfill all that is your destiny for you, to bring you into the full manifestation of it. May the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Even though she was an orphan, she didn't have any, but father, we didn't hear that Mordecai even had a wife. But she lived her life such that by that, when she had opportunity, she stood
to honor the Lord in our life, and also to be able to find favor because she lived right. She did what was right. Praise the Lord. And I also want to say a word. I will soon finish. I will soon round up. I also want to say a word concerning Mordecai. When Mordecai realized that this, my little girl now, is the queen of the land, and issues began to come up, Mordecai only gave words of encouragement to Esther. He did not enforce. If you look at the tone, he said, go into the king. And Esther said, oh, I can't go in. Let's look at it again. Esther's chapter 4. Okay, Esther chapter 4. Okay, in the early part, Mordecai sent a message of the decree signed by Haman for the destruction of the Jews to Esther. And then Mordecai now said, also gave him a copy of this and said unto Esther and explained it to her, command her to go to the king to beg, that's verse 8, command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of our people. Esther now said, I cannot go to the king because nobody can just walk to the king. I'm just paraphrasing now. That nobody can just go to the king without being invited. And then Mordecai told her, verse 14 of 13, said, then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I'm sure that those words were the things that stirred up Esther to make up her mind. Okay, if there's something I can do, I can't go in my own strength. I can't go in my own power. She drew strength and she said, I will wait before the Lord. I will stand in the place of prayer. I will fast for days. I will fast with my maidens, which is also another talk for another day. Her maidens knew her for what she stood for, and so they were willing to follow her to fast. You know, those maidens were not even Jews, but that is not our focus. But she has so much impacted their lives positively that they were willing to fast with her. And they fasted, and all the Jews fasted, and then she began. And I'm sure it was in the process of waiting upon the Lord, the Lord began to give her specific instruction. She was strategic in her approach. She was definite. She was specific when she was going to approach the king. The first threat, I'm inviting you and Haman. Haman was happy. They went for the first night. And I'm sure the Lord must have told her, don't disclose what you want now yet. The second night, and by the second night, when the Lord said, whatever you want, to the half of the kingdom I will give you, you know, and she began to speak. It was as if every word she said, the Lord was just putting his stamp, bam, bam, bam. But she didn't get there in one day. She didn't get there in one day. She learned to seek God's face. We said it yesterday. A winning woman must be a prayerful woman. A winning woman must be sensitive, must be respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. A winning woman must be at alert. Her spiritual antenna must be so easy, so fast to catch what the heavens are saying. May the Lord grant us help in Jesus' name. So Esther, after all that, what happened? She raised not only herself, a winning generation. All the Jews, all of them together, when they said, oh, everybody, go and destroy those people, and they all just went out because they had been prepared. She didn't just call on them on the day they were going to go to battle. I pray the Lord will grant us understanding. Amen. I pray the Lord will grant us help. Amen. To release ourselves to this grace, to release ourselves unto the Lord so that he can do whatever seemeth right to him in his eyes with our lives. In the name of Jesus. I'm sure the word of Esther became a law, and so everything she wanted was just going. You know, she was just getting it. She was just getting it. But it wasn't that day that it began. It started from the time she knew how to keep herself pure. It started from the time she learned obedience and instruction. It started from the time she learned to be submissive under Mordecai. And she did not say, "Ebeyin gan kotele ko bimi kilo tede wa se gan." She was respectful. She was open to instructions, and her life became a living testimony of God's faithfulness. Beloved, with the little we have discussed this morning, I know we all know, all of us here, we have a responsibility. A responsibility to this present generation where we find ourselves. A responsibility to ensure that the faith that was delivered unto us does not slip off. Because so many things contend for that faith. The news we hear every day is enough to erode your trust in the Lord. But we have a responsibility. When we are grounded and rooted in the love of God, when we are grounded and rooted in the word of God, when we are obedient to instruction and we are ready to take risks for the Lord, we all become a winning generation. I want us to rise up to pray.
Lord, I offer my life to thee. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I my days to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my all.
Let it be a commitment on your part as we take that song once again. But I want to say that if you have not known the Lord, if you have not given your heart to Jesus, there is nothing to contend for. There is nothing so earnestly contend for. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, you have another opportunity today for your life to amount to anything in God's hands. You must allow him to take the lead while you follow. You must allow him to be the Lord and master of your life. I want you to take that song one more time and just offer yourself willingly unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't want to be the one directing my life affair again. I want you to take the throne of my heart. I want you to come and be the Lord of my life. I don't want to direct my life anymore. Lord, I want to be a vessel, mighty vessel in your hand. Lord, responsible to you, responsive to your word. In the name of Jesus. If you are in that category, just put your hand on your chest and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm coming to you. He said, behold, I stand at the door now. I stand on the door of your heart knocking. Open the door. Say, if any man open to me, I will come in and sup with him. I want you to open your heart to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, enough of myself driving my life. I want to come and take over. That's why you are saying you are offering your life as a pleasing sacrifice. Offer the offering of our lives to the starting point to become a winning person, to become a winning woman. The offering of our lives is the beginning point. I want you to respond to the Lord this morning. If you're in that category, just place your hand upon your chest and just say, Lord Jesus, just as I am, I come before you. Lord, I realize that I've been the driver of my own life, but today I hold up to you that I cannot help myself any longer. I need your help, Father. I acknowledge my sin before you. I confess them before you. I ask that, Lord, you will cleanse me from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus. and I receive, oh God, you into my heart today, because I believe that you died on the cross for me. You gave your life for me. And because of that, I turn over my totality unto you. I invite you in as my Lord and personal Savior. I want you to invite the Lord in. Father, thank you for the offering of these lives. Lord, let it be a pleasing sacrifice before you. In the name of Jesus. That's the first leg of our prayer this morning. I want you to press further a little. How has your life been? Are you allowing the word of God to take root in your life? Are you taking responsibility for your life by virtue of God's investment upon you? I want you to ask the Lord for help. If you can look inwards and the Lord gives you and shows you your nakedness, hindrances that will not make you a winning person, hindrances that will not make you a winning woman, hindrances that will not make you a winning child, I want you to tell the Lord, have mercy upon me today. Everything that I must do, Lord, in this dispensation, not to compromise my faith, not to be a puppet in the hands of this generation, Lord, not to be among those who do what they like just because they want to please the world. Lord, please help me. Help me, Lord, from today. Cause me to respond to your word. Help me to take responsibility for all of your investments over my life, so that your purpose and your counsels to launch me into a glorious destiny might be accomplished. I want you to ask the Lord for help tonight. Help is available for us. Help is available. And I want us, as we are praying, let's pray, Lord, help us that we will manifest to the world. This world that is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, they will not wait in vain. Lord, cause our life to show forth the glory of the Lord. Everywhere we go, help us to be your ambassador. Help us to be your voice for this generation. Help us to live an uncompromising life, so that peoples will come into our light. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I call on our pastor to pray for us.
Heavenly Father, this morning we pray to help us to take responsibility for our lives before you. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us to be obedient. Help us to be submissive. Help us to be teachable. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, help us to walk your counsel in your ways. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your servants that you are used for us today. We ask and we pray that our head shall never lack the anointing. Our ministry shall grow in leaps and in band. And every area of life shall be going to win, Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the members of this ministry. All of us shall be a winning generation. All of us shall be a winning generation. All of us shall be a winning generation. In the mighty name of Jesus. If there's any area that the enemy is threatening anybody with defeat this morning, I declare into your life, receive victory. Receive victory. Receive victory. This month of October is the month of victory for everyone that's here today and everyone that's associated with this ministry. Every area of your life this month, I declare victory of the Lord for you, unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let us put our hands together for the Lord.